Psalm 46, verses 1 to 5. Let us read together. Let's go. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, Selah. There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. Amen and amen. Thank God that he is never late. God is always prompt, always on time, always on schedule. If God is not acting in the time you expect him to act, just be patient, because he's never late. It simply means your own time is not accurate. Just say, well, my time, don't speak to me anymore, because you are wrong. God's time is always correct, because Bible says it will move right early. It will help me right early. He is never late. Jesus himself said similarly in Luke chapter 18, shall not God avenge his own elect, who cry unto him day and night, even though he bears long with them? I tell you, he will avenge them speedily. God is never late. He knows exactly what he's doing. And Bible says he makes everything beautiful in his season. Thank God for that. Now let us back up to verse 1. And we want to receive encouragement from the word of God today as to what you and I need to do, particularly in these last days as troubles increase in the world. See, as Christians, we are not supposed to be surprised by the troubles that are increasing in the world, because Bible tells us exactly it should be so. It will happen. God's word will always be fulfilled. In fact, Bible tells me that gross darkness shall cover the whole earth and the people that are in the world, the people that don't have Christ. Gross darkness there literally means absolute confusion and perplexity. They won't know what to do. And you don't need a prophet to know that actually the people of the world don't know what to do. Now, even governments don't know what to do. Everyone is just trying this, trying that, and they'll say one thing today and change it tomorrow because they are confused. That's the fulfillment of Isaiah prophecy. And we haven't seen anything yet. It's going to get worse and worse in the world. But it's going to get better and better for you as a Christian. God is about to make a demarcation again between the world and his own people, just as he did in Egypt in the days of the children of Israel. The Bible says they were in Egypt in the land Goshen, but Bible says God made a demarcation between Goshen and the rest of Egypt. Plagues were befalling the Egyptians, but not one befell Goshen, which was in the same Egypt. You are in the world. You are not of the world. So God is about to make a demarcation between Christians who are in the world and the people of the world who are not Christians. So as they are confused and perplexed, you and I will begin to arise and shine in the midst of the darkness because of the glory of God making the difference in our lives. When they don't know what to do, we will have the wisdom of God to know what to do. When they are running up and down, suffering from incurable disease, and the GPs don't know what to do, because the GPs themselves are confused, you and I will be receiving divine healing and health from the hand of God himself. Hallelujah. When there is scarcity of food and they are all panicking in the world and don't know where to get food, God will be feeding us supernaturally. I'm not telling you fables. I'm telling you what God has already done before. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Don't think like they think. That's why, as we shared this morning in the Bible study, we need to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. We need to allow the Word of God to change the way we think so that we begin to think exactly like God thinks. Is it a hard thing for you or for God that in the time of famine you will be in your room and an angel will just bring food from heaven and lay it on your table? You don't need to go to the kitchen to cook. And when you are finished eating, the angel will take the plate away. Just serve you. 5-star treatment. Praise the Lord. The best for food, it will not do you any harm. You will eat that food for 40 days. You will still be enjoying that food in your belly. Still having good time with one meal brought from heaven. I'm not talking fables. I'm talking what is in the Bible. God brought food from heaven for Elijah. One meal from heaven. And Bible says Elijah went in the strength of that meal for 40 days. We are talking about God. The resources of God are not natural. They are supernatural. So don't think like the people of the world. I say, oh, there is going to be famine. Where are we going to get food? Look up! Your resources come from heaven, not from the earth. God will supply your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. If everything fails down here, God's own economy never fails. It's time for us to begin to operate from where we belong. In Philippians chapter 3 verse 20, Bible says our citizenship is in heaven. But because we are living in this world, we've got ourselves thinking like the people of the world. It's time to rise up and begin to change our thinking and think like God wants us to think. We are in the world, we are not of the world. Hallelujah. Because when we begin to believe God for these things, we'll see them come to pass. The reason why we are not seeing them is because we are not believing God for them. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. And you begin to say, God, I don't care what happens in the world. There may be shortage of food and shortage of everything, but I know my resources come from you. Somehow you get what is lacking in the world, you get them to me in abundance. And I will go and be a blessing to others. Then I will tell the people of the world that what they lack, they can get from God, because God supplies to his own people. I tell you, people will troop into the church in droves because they need help. You need to go back and study what happened during famine in Egypt as God gave Joseph wisdom to manage the resources. You see, all the princes of Egypt came to Joseph, Bible says, because they wanted food. And Joseph would tell them what to do. All of them sold everything they had. And after they didn't have anything else to sell in order to buy food from Joseph, they came to Joseph. They said, well, just buy us as human being, because we need food to survive. And Joseph said, okay, go and begin to till the land. See, all the land now belongs to Pharaoh. They gave everything up. Because food is the number one need of any human being to stay alive. Don't be surprised when famine comes. You see a billionaire come and knock on your door in the morning, because he sees that you are not lean. He's been watching you. He's gone so thin and he's emaciated. But he sees that you are still robust. He's going to ask you where you are getting your food from. You go and come and knock on your door and say, please, please, please. I'm sorry for bothering you so early in the morning, but I noticed that you are not as lean as we all are. I'm at the point of death. Please, do you have some food in the house somewhere? Because I see you are not affected. I tell them, I don't have the kind of food that you are talking about, because it's short in supply everywhere. But I get my food from heaven, because I'm a Christian and God looks after himself. How do I become a Christian? Because I want food too. Just take all my money, because I'm ready to buy the food. If you can give to me as God gives to you from heaven, just give me something. Take all my money. Take my billions. Well, the wealth of the sinners is laid up for the just. Have you ever wondered how God is going to transfer it? That's part of the way. That was part of the way, transferred the wealth of the princes of Egypt into the hand of Joseph to give to Pharaoh. We need to go back to scripture and begin to see God's wisdom in operation. It's time for you to become a billionaire. And then you can then take the money and use it for the glory of God. Hallelujah. Because it's in the hands of sinners, the devil is using it to do things against God. They will set up media houses to publish rubbish and entice the youth away from righteousness. Imagine what will happen if you have those billions and you possess all those media houses and you put the gospel on all of them. No more filth on any television station. No more filth in any media house. Everything now, if you put on Twitter, it will be the gospel of Jesus. You put on Facebook, it will be the gospel of Jesus. And any other ones they use, I don't know many of them. Everything will be the gospel. The gospel. The gospel. Wouldn't that be wonderful? Well, we can see right there how the devil has cunningly taken all the resources that we can use for the gospel to put it in the hand of sinners. But those things belong to God. And God has a plan to recover everything. Because the heart is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. And He's going to recover it through you, through every one of us. And that's why we have to be faithful to Him. It's all there in the Bible. It's the same God yesterday, today, and forever. There's going to be a great wealth transfer in these last days. From the hand of sinners to the hands of the righteous. And God will be glorified before Jesus returns to take us home. Because He's coming for a church full of glory. Hallelujah. Don't we need money to preach the gospel? We need it. Even Paul in his days was asking people to send supply to him for his missionary journeys. Because money answers all things, as the Bible says. Imagine how it would be if you maybe had a million and you just print Bible in every language. And you send them all over the world. Millions of copies of Bible. And you give them freely to everybody in every nation. And you print so many other material that will help people find their way in Christ. Wouldn't that be wonderful? You don't even ask them for one penny. Give to them freely. And you don't even feel like you've spent anything out of your resources. Because God is just blessing you abundantly. It's going to come to pass. You better lift your hands to God and say, thank you for the supply, oh God. I'm ready to receive. In Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. All right. Verse 1. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Now, these three key things we find in verse 1 are very essential, because verse 2 begins with the word therefore. When a sentence begins with the word therefore, it means it has to do with what was said before that sentence. The reason why the next statement is about to be made is because of what was said before that. That's what the word therefore stands for. Which means if you don't understand what was said before the word therefore, you can't benefit from what is said after therefore. So let us look closely at verse 1. There are important keys there. And when we understand them, then therefore we will not be afraid of what the people of the world fear. We will not fear famine. We will not fear shortage of materials. And some people now are so fearful because they'll say they go to a supermarket, they can't even find some products. And they don't know whether everything is going to fail. I tell them, well, you better go to God. If you are already being fearful, what you need is God. Because fear is from the devil. God has not given us the spirit of fear. When you go to God, you have boldness. Remember the early church? When they threatened them, where did they go to? They went to God to pray and said, give us boldness. And the Holy Spirit filled them up with boldness. They had no reason to fear anymore. That's what we need to do in our days. Instead of giving in to fear and allowing the devil to get us thinking like the people of the world, it's time for us to go to God and get boldness from God and go about boasting about our God, who is faithful, whose mercies endure forever, who knows how to look after his own people regardless of what is happening in the world. It's time for us to boast about our God. Jehovah is his name. He is the covenant keeping God. All he wants from us is faith. That's all. Nothing else. He has the power to do miracles and do extraordinary things. The same God that brought manna from heaven. The same God that opened the Red Sea. How can he not make the difference between us and the people of the world in our days? He has the power, but we are not believing him. So he can't release the power because he needs faith. That's all. That's all. Now look at it closely. God is our refuge. What does that mean? Well, the word refuge there literally means the place of safety. God is our place of safety. God is our defense. God is the place that we run to so that we are kept from harm, from danger, and from evil. So what is happening in this world will not touch us when we take our refuge in God. And here, the psalmist is very bold to declare that God is the refuge of his own people. Not the refuge for the world. They can't take refuge in God because they don't know God and they don't have a covenant with him. But you and I, as God's people, who have covenant with God, must take advantage of what belongs to us. God is our refuge. It's our place of safety. It's our place that we hide. So that all the evil and all the danger and all the harm and everything that is befalling the world will not touch us. God is our refuge. Put your finger there. Let's turn also to Psalm 91. Now, it's not enough for you to just know that God is your refuge. Because many of us just know these things, but we are not mixing it with faith. Bible teaches us in Hebrews chapter 4 that the same word was preached to them and to us. In other words, talking about two groups of people. One group heard the word, mixed faith with it, and profited from it. The other group heard the same word, did not mix faith with what they heard, and they didn't profit from it. So it's not enough for you or me to know that God is our refuge. What are we doing with that knowledge? That's the next question. God is my refuge, so what am I doing with that knowledge? Because if I don't act appropriately based on that knowledge, I won't still benefit from the refuge that is available for me in God. Psalm 91, we see what we need to do. Well, faith believes with the heart and does what? After that, confesses with the mouth. So it's time for you to wake up every morning and say, God is my refuge. Don't just believe it. Don't just know it. Begin to declare it in faith. Look at what the psalmist said there. Psalm 91, verse 2. I will say. I will say. Well, it's time to begin to say of the Lord. Begin to say of the Lord. Every day. Say, God is my refuge. God is my refuge. I'm going to trust in him. See the key? Don't just know it. Say it. Believe it with the heart and say it with the mouth. Oh, hallelujah. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In him will I trust. So you begin to say it. Begin to say it. Say it every day. Say it in every situation. When trouble comes your way, say it to that trouble. Say, trouble? God is my refuge. And the devil begin to shake. Say, I'm in trouble now. Because this one is hiding in the secret place of the Most High. I can't touch him now. He's taking refuge in God. I can't touch him. Hallelujah. You know, even under the old covenant, God instructed the Israelites to set up what was called cities of refuge. Even if they made mistake, maybe they accidentally killed somebody, the avenger of blood will want to kill them in return. Because under the old covenant, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth, you kill somebody, you pay with your life. But God told them to set up cities of refuge. If that person who accidentally did that thing could run and get into that city of refuge, somebody pursuing him, when they get to that border of the city, they can't enter with him into that city. They have to turn back. So it's escaped now. It's gone. Because once you enter into that city of refuge, God made the law. Nobody should enter in to avenge. So they've taken refuge in God. Isn't that wonderful? The devil knows that when you take refuge in God, he can't touch you. That's why he will try and get you away from God. He will get you thinking like the people of the world. He will get you to begin to reason with the natural mind instead of reasoning with the mind of Christ. We begin to see the importance of the word of God. So the psalmist said, I will say. It doesn't matter what others say, but I'm going to say. Because I believe where my own help is coming from. I believe in whom I have my safety. His name is God. And heaven hears it, the devil hears it, and I hear it also to confirm my faith and raise my hope in that situation. So I will say of the Lord. Let's go back to Psalm 46. So you see, therefore, what it means there to take God as our place of refuge and to take refuge in Him at all times, in every situation, and simply trust in Him. Hallelujah. So God is our refuge and strength. Ha ha. Strength. So God is my strength. So it doesn't matter now how weak I am. You know, what the devil wants us to talk about all day long is our weakness. Isn't that so? Because when we talk about our weaknesses, we are discouraged. Oh, I don't have the strength to do this. Oh, I wish I was as strong as that person. Oh, I wish I had this extra strength. No, quit talking that way. You don't need extra human strength. You just need God's strength to come on the scene. And when God's strength comes on the scene, you don't even need your human strength anymore. Because God knows our weaknesses. Isn't that so? There's none of us that is sufficient on our own. It doesn't matter how strong you are. I tell you, I've seen big muscular men. Very huge muscular men weep like babies when afflictions of life strike them. And I just say, oh God, with all these muscles, this man is crying like a baby. Why? Because human strength cannot withstand the devil. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They are mighty through God. So we need the strength of God to defeat the devil. Because the devil is a formidable enemy. Don't underestimate him. None of us can handle him on our own. We need God's strength to defeat him. We have to put on the whole armor of God before we can withstand against the devil, Bible says. So forget about how strong or how weak you are on your own. And just focus on the strength of God. So God is our refuge and strength. Put your finger there. Turn with me to Psalm 144. Again, what do we do with this knowledge? Well, we believe it and act upon it personally. Hallelujah. You take that truth and personally apply it to your life. That's just the way it works. David did that in his own days. Blessed be God. Verse 1, Psalm 144. Blessed be the Lord, my strength, which teacheth my hands to war and my fingers to fight. My goodness and my fortress, my high tower and my deliverer, my shield, and he in whom I trust. Is he again faith? I trust in him. Who, please underline that in your Bible, who subdueth my people under me. When you hook up with the strength of God, all things that are contrary to you will be subdued. The devil will bow before you because of the strength of God. Hallelujah. This is what we need. Every one of us. We need to stop thinking about how strong or how weak we are on our own and just depend on the strength of God. David said God was the one that taught his hands to war and his fingers to fight. Why? Because he looked to God for strength. No wonder David always fought and won every battle. There was no battle he lost. In fact, he shed so much blood that God said, well, you're a bloody man. Let's put it that way. You can't build a house for me. Too much blood. Your son will build a house. Hallelujah. Because he always won every battle. Why? Because he depended on God. He will inquire of God, what should I do? Tell me. How should I go? Because he knew that God had to give him the wisdom and give him the strength and go with him into the battle. And he always won. Well, you will always win every battle of life. You will always overcome everything that is contrary to you in life when you make God your strength. God knows how to subdue all the problems under you. Every mountain that stands in the way of your progress, God will make them to become plain. He will make the crooked places straight before you as you depend on his strength. Because when you depend on the strength of God, God takes over. He becomes the one doing those things for you, rather than you trying to use your human strength. Bible says it's not by our might, it's not by our power, it is by the Spirit of the Lord. Glory to God in the highest. Thank God for that. Let's go back to Psalm 46. You see, once we understand those three basic things, then we can read on and say, therefore, all this will happen. Therefore, all this will happen. Because once I do my part, God never fails to do his own part. Hallelujah. I do my part with clear understanding and application. I believe with my heart and I declare with my mouth. And my faith pleases God. And God steps on the scene to do the rest for me. So God is our refuge and strength. A very present help. Oh, I love this. A very present help in trouble. Oh, how many of us, even as Christians, wonder when we're in trouble, wonder why people are not coming around us to give us, you know, an arm to lean on. Maybe somebody to just be there for me to weep and comfort me and say, weep not. Weep not. I wonder why bad things happen to good people like you. But weep not. Well, is that going to change your situation? That's not going to change your situation. Oh, you're such a nice person. Oh, okay. Oh, your tears. Here's my handkerchief. Oh, wipe your tears. Oh, I feel for you. No? Ah, let me cry with you a little bit. And after all of you have cried, the situation is still the same. If you study the Bible, in 1 Samuel chapter 30, David wept until he had no more tears coming from his tear gland. He drained all his tear gland. He must have wept for a long time. Did that change his situation? But after all the weeping, his men took stones and wanted to kill him. You know, when the devil comes against people, it can bring us into so much emotional distress that we don't even know when we begin to do things that we ought not to do. These were loyal men of David. But now, the reality dawned on them. We've lost everything. We've lost our wives. We've lost our children. We've lost all our goods just because we are following this man. You know, the leader gets the blame when things turn bad. So they carry stones and wanted to stone him to death. Ah! And suddenly he realized this is a dangerous spot. And he did what he should have done right from the beginning instead of just weeping. He said, Abiathar, priest, give me the effort. Let me seek the Lord what I need to do. And then he sought the Lord. What shall I do? Should I pursue? Will I recover? Oh, God said, pursue. You see, that's what you should have done all along. Instead of sitting down there weeping. Hey, when you are in trouble, don't look for people to pity you. Go to God in prayer. The people you need at that time are people of prayer. Who will say, okay, don't worry. I'll be praying along with you. That's the support you need. Not people that will just be emotional around you and be weeping with you and be cleaning your tears. That's not solving the problem. You don't need a pity party. You need Holy Ghost people around you who say, well, we're God on our side. We are more than conquerors through him who has loved us. Glory to God. Like David said, who is this uncircumcised devil to come against the righteous child of God? We will stand with you in prayer and resist him. Ah, then you are in the right party. Glory be to God. Don't look for pity party. God is our very present help in trouble. Let's put our finger there and turn with me quickly to Psalm chapter 37. And let's read together verses 39 and 40, the last two verses. God is very present. You don't need man. God is there in the trouble to help you. And he is the only one that can help you. So look to him. Forget about man now. Look to God. The only men you could look to are godly men. And by that I mean male or female. Because in Christ Jesus there is no sex. So whether male or female, godly people who can pray along with you, those are the people you need. Not natural men now. Because those ones won't help you anyway. So let's read together verses 39 and 40. Let's go. But the salvation of the Lord, of the righteous, is of the Lord. He is their strength in the time of trouble. And the Lord shall help them and deliver them. He shall deliver them from the wicked and save them because they trust in him. You see again the responsibility. It's not enough just to know. You see every one of those three key things and the scriptures we have looked to support what we are reading from Psalm 46 verse 1 always encourages trust in God. In other words, we need to do something with that knowledge. We need to act in faith based on this knowledge and let God see our faith and he will do the rest. See? You trust in God to be your very present help in trouble, he will help you. That's it. Let's read it again. 39 and 40, Psalm chapter 37. Let's go. But the salvation of the righteous is of the Lord. He is their strength in the time of trouble. And the Lord shall help them and deliver them. He shall deliver them from the wicked and save them because. You see the condition. Not just because they have the knowledge, but because they act upon that knowledge and trust in God to do what he has promised. That's what faith is all about. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. God is ready to help us in trouble. But are we ready to believe and trust him as the help? Or are we running to man? Because the psalmist is very precise here. He didn't say the salvation of the righteous comes from any man. Why? Because the arm of flesh will fail us. The salvation of the righteous. If you are a Christian, your salvation and your help is coming from God. Don't look to the world. Don't look to government. Don't look to man. Don't look to any system of man. Look to Jehovah, the covenant-keeping God, your Father who is in heaven. He never fails. You have to believe with your heart and declare this out of your mouth, just as the psalmist is doing here. I believe, Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 13, we have in the same spirit of faith according as it is written. We believe and therefore we speak. So we believe it with the heart, we confess it with the mouth, God hears in heaven, the devil hears in hell and trembles. And you hear yourself and faith builds up in you and you are like David ready to face Goliath. And say, who is this uncircumcised devil to come against me? Because of the strength of the Lord that rises up in you when you walk by faith, trusting in him on the basis of his word. Hallelujah. So therefore, no matter what the trouble may be, we have no reason to fear. So let's go back to Psalm 46. Don't let anything make you afraid. Don't let the devil intimidate you. No matter the trouble it brings your way, don't even bat an eyelid. Just continue to do what God expects you to do as though you didn't have the trouble. Because the devil wants you to stop. The first thing the devil is after by bringing you trouble is for you to turn back from God. That's his ultimate goal. His ultimate goal is to take our soul away from God and get us to go to where he is going. He will even tell you, curse God and die, like he told Job through his wife. He said, curse God and die. You know, when you curse God, you go to hell. But that man was smarter than his wife. He said, no, even though he slay me, I will still trust. You see again the key word. I will still trust in him. I may not understand why I'm going through what I'm going through, but I trust God anyhow. That's the key. You keep trusting in God. Your salvation will come because you trust in him. He will not fail to help you. He knows how to deliver you from the wicked. The wicked is the devil and all his cohorts. He knows how to deliver you. You won't even need to fight on your own. God will fight for you. But he needs your faith. He needs your faith. Back to Psalm 46, and let's begin to round up now. We are just going to act upon the word of God before we go. You are going to release your faith in God. So God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, will not we fear. Though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, Selah. In other words, ponder and think about all the calamity that can come in this world. None of them will make us to be afraid. Why? Because we know where our refuge is, we know where our strength is, and we know where our help in trouble is. So nothing. I mean, you reflect on that for a moment. If God is your helper, if God is your strength, if God is your safety, then what can overcome you? What or who? That's why Bible says, if God be for us, who can be against us? Not that they won't try, but they'll try and fail. They can't succeed because they have to overcome God. Once you have taken refuge in God, for anything to get you, that thing has to get God first. And you and I know not. the devil is smarter than that. He knows he can't move close to God. He will be consumed. His place is no longer found in heaven. The devil knows his limit. So he can't go to heaven anymore. He knows he can't do that. So he can only oppress us here on earth. Bless God forevermore. Now what then do we do? Ha! As we begin to close and we act upon the word, look at verse 4. There is a river. So in the midst of all this shaking in this world, all the calamity, all the trouble, everything upside down, and anything that the devil can do in this world, in the midst of all these things, there is one present to help us. There is a river. There is a river. That's the key. There is a river. I'm not relying on myself. I'm not relying on any natural resources. I'm relying on this river. I'm relying on the river of God himself to help me. And that's what the psalmist is saying here. Because God gave the shadow of the real thing that we have today to the children of Israel under the old covenant. In Jerusalem, they had rivers that could help them even against the enemy. Sometimes they would stop that river and cut off the enemy. But God was using that as a type and shadow of the river of God that you and I have today in our belly. The Holy Spirit himself, who is our helper. The greater one in us than he that is in the world. So there is a river. If you are a Christian, there is a river that can be your refuge, that can be your strength, and that can be your help in trouble. Because that is God living on the inside of you. The Holy Spirit himself. So there is a river. Put your finger there. Turn with me to John chapter 7. Let us clearly see in scripture that the head of the church himself tells us who this river is. So what they had physically in Jerusalem, under the old covenant, we have spiritually in reality now in us. Because we are the temples of God. Bible says, as the church of Jesus, we are the heavenly Jerusalem. We are the spiritual Jerusalem. The city of God where God dwells. We are the temples of God. He lives in us. Under the new covenant. And Jesus himself tells us that this river of God will be in our belly because of our faith in him. And he was talking about the Holy Spirit. John chapter 7. So once we know that, then we'll see what we need to do with this river before we go today. That's all. Hallelujah. John chapter 7. Verse 37, in the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Verse 39, but this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. But the Holy Ghost was not yet given because that Jesus was not yet glorified. So, who is the river? The Holy Spirit. Where is he? In our belly. Don't keep running up and down looking for the Holy Spirit. He's not lost. It's you and I that are lost many times. Oh God. Some Christians will run from one crusade to another looking for help, and yet the help is inside because of lack of understanding. And when they go up and down and to and fro and up and down and they don't get help, they get frustrated. Some of them will say faith doesn't work and backslide. No, they are ignorant, because if they understood what we are sharing this morning, they would have known that actually that help is in them. They just need the responsibility of doing something so that the Holy Spirit can do the rest. Let's go back to Psalm 46 and see what we need to do. And remember here in John chapter 7, as we leave, I want you to pay attention to what Jesus said here. In verse 38, he said, he that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow. Please underline that word, flow. Flow. Jesus didn't just say, he that believeth on me, in him will be the river. He uses deliberately one word that we need to pay attention to, because it's the same word we see under the old covenant. There has to be a flow. The river cannot help you until it is flowing. Let's put it that way. It is the flow of the river that brings you help. If you don't get that river flowing, you don't get help. The river has to flow for you to get help. Now let's go back to Psalm 46. We see it there very clearly also. So there's a responsibility. Oh, we have to do something with the river that is in us. We have to stir him up. When trouble comes, stir up the river of God in you. He's your very present help in trouble. That's why he's there with you in the trouble, because he's inside of you. Where you are, he is. You begin to see why even David, the psalmist under the old covenant, was able to see these things ahead of us that many of us are not even seeing right now. Oh, I'm in trouble. Nobody knows where I am. Well, there's a river in you. He knows where you are. He's in the same place where you are. And he knows how to help you. But you need to let him flow. If it's not flowing, it's of no use to you. It's just dormant in you. You need to stir him up. And then when he's stirred up, it becomes active. And his power begins to function in your life. Hallelujah. Psalm 46. And let's just do that for the next couple of minutes before we go. Just turn the river on and let him flow. You know what you need this morning. And the river of God, the Holy Spirit, knows how to help you. Thank God for that. Hallelujah. Verse 4. Psalm 46, there is a river. Please underline your Bible. The streams whereof. You see the key? It is not just the presence of the river now. It is the streams of the river. The streams there literally means the flow of the river. It's like the river of Ezekiel. In Ezekiel chapter 47, when that river began to flow from the temple and went ahead into the streets, and the angel was using the plumb line to measure, the river was increasing. The flow was increasing until it became a mighty river that just overwhelmed everything, and changes began to take place. Hallelujah. Where there were no trees, trees sprang up. Where there were no fruit, fruit began to grow because of the river. Just turned everything around. So there is a river. Thank God we all know we have the Holy Spirit in us. But then Bible says the streams of that river is what will help us. The flow. The streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her. And that right hand. So the help is coming from the flow of the river. Jesus said, out of his belly shall flow. He that believeth on me. So every believer has the Spirit in them. But you have to let him flow. And then he will do the rest. So let's stand to our feet for the next couple of minutes. We are just going to let the river of God in us flow. Whatsoever your need may be, you need healing, you need breakthroughs, you need favor, you need wisdom, you need whatsoever. Spiritual need, emotional need, physical need. The Holy Spirit has all the supply for every one of us. He knows exactly how to help us in every situation. Thank God for him. Thank God for the river of God in us. He can turn our situation around and bring us joy instead of sorrow. Remember, Isaiah prophesied of the same thing concerning Jesus and the anointing that will be upon him. He said he will bring us beauty for ashes, the oil of gladness for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. He will open the prison doors. He will proclaim the jubilee of the Lord. Liberty. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But the streams must be allowed to get the job done. So flow. Let the Spirit flow. And one of the key ways by which we do that is by praying in other tongues. Because when we pray in other tongues, we stir the Holy Spirit up. Because that's him taking hold with us to help us to speak in the heavenly language that no man understands. No angel understands. The devil doesn't even understand. Only God understands. Bible says, he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto man but unto God. For no man understands him. Howbeit in the spirit he speaketh mysteries. Let the Holy Spirit help you to talk secretly with the Father so that the devil can't get in on the conversation. He doesn't even know what is going on now. The next thing he will know is that the glory of God shows up and he runs away. That's all. That's all. That's all. David said God is the one that teaches his hand to war and his fingers to fight. He's the one that subdues everyone that tries to rise up against him under him. So go ahead, lay your hand on your belly as a mark of your faith. You trust in God because the river of God is in you, just as Jesus said. And you want that river to flow. You want the streams to begin to flow from your belly and minister help to you where you need help. Or minister help to someone else that you are standing in the gap for. The Holy Spirit's flow is what will bring the help. Father, we thank you as we act upon your word in faith, because we believe with all our hearts. So we declare also with our mouth, and we take the step of faith that you can see from heaven, because you're always looking for faith in order to help us here on earth. Thank you, Lord. We lay our hand on our belly that the river of your spirit in us may flow and help every one of us, no matter what our need may be here this morning. And our fellow brethren who are not here right now, wherever they are, whatsoever they need, let the river flow to them. And we stretch our faith for every saint of yours everywhere all over the world. Because we are one family in you. And we are all joined together by the same spirit. So as we pray here, they can receive also where they are. Because of the network connection of the Holy Spirit. One body. Under one head. One baptism. One spirit of grace for us all. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for flowing and releasing help to meet every need in every life in this church and in your body everywhere this afternoon in Jesus' name. Go ahead and pray in other tongues for the next couple of minutes. We just act in faith and the Holy Spirit knows what to do after that. In Jesus' name, Mahangra Seka, O Prebe, Kelabo, Kerene Hanta, Labrane. Lekekekeke selabahanda. Macrosisto poloronde seclamohon tekelebo. Liegronose mahange hekela mahanta. Non grenoske papalahande solehietola. Liekorodoshki man promisco pepalahonge vie conto la credonisco. Haros pelalande yesu haliekondo rabieno. E babaneka la bondo rose kenanahanta. Krenondoshki manande lebromo. Lembromo kapromongo novakie. Eli bromo. Ela rose. Manke la makapromongo nosea. Lieta tata nahanda. Nande. Helago. Le krono. Elie gose la nahanda. Lie. Lie. La promongo de la yendosa. Ah. Reka kaka bose banahando. Ye kalo rose. Ela ro. Elie kato nonde shkililianda. Liengara nonde simiendo. Yeno, 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 se la mahanta. Legrono, ke papa la gredono, se le mahanto liye. Liegrono, na, solehie. Lemra mondo bekaya. Bekaya, mankra mango do sote la hata. Yelo rosa, adonai, mekielo maheta. Ah, Baba, thank you, Almighty God, for the flow of the river of your spirit out of us, ministering to every one of us at all points of need. You are the Lord of our breakthroughs. As David declared that you had broken forth for him like the breaking forth of many waters. Even so, let it be this morning. As you minister victory to every one of us in all areas of our lives where we need your help today. Everyone in this church and our fellow brethren in the body of Christ everywhere. Every household of faith, that there may be joy in every life and in every household represented in your church. For you said in your word that the voice of rejoicing and salvation shall be in the tabernacles of the righteous. You are not a man that you should lie. And as it is written, your river brings gladness to your city. So let it be, Lord, as you turn our circumstances around for joy in your church everywhere today. And take all the glory, dear Lord. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and evermore. In Jesus' name, lift your hands to God and thank him. Thank him for the river of God that helps you and me and all our fellow brethren now and forever. In Jesus' name, amen.